This day Easter. We here prefer to call it Resurrection Day, but we're going to find out that the Word calls it even a different name. For those of you who have attended our services, especially last Sunday, last Wednesday, and even last Friday, we have been hearing about Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Excuse me. As we discuss, he was chosen on a very particular day, the 10th day of Nisan. That was the beginning month of the year as God instructed the people of Israel, found in Exodus 12. That Sunday morning that we call Palm Sunday is when Jesus came in triumphantly in the city of Jerusalem. Everybody hailed him, basically chose him as the Redeemer, as the King of Kings, as the Messiah that was to come. So just as the Passover lamb was supposed to be chosen on Sunday, on that 10th day of Nisan, Jesus was chosen as well. On Wednesday evening, which it's our Wednesday, but in the Hebrew calendar was Nisan 14. That was the day that God instructed the people of Israel to kill the Passover lamb. That same evening, it was the time that Jesus had communion with his disciples. And then the following morning, still, Nisan 14, he was nailed on the cross. On the same day, the Passover lamb was to be killed at 3 p.m., the end of Nisan 14. At that precise time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when God had instructed the people of Israel to kill the Passover, Jesus died on that cross in our behalf. Then before 6 p.m., which ended the day 14, he was buried, which before the new day started at 6 p.m. This is what we commemorate as Good Friday, but maybe it actually happened Thursday, but we celebrated on Friday. So that was Nisan 14. On the evening starts Nisan 15, and we talked about the fact that there's another Jewish feast, well, Lord's Feast. He said that day will be the start of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which lasted 7 days. It's a high day or a high Sabbath. According to John 19:31, and that's the day when the Passover meal was supposed to be eaten in the evening. The Passover would be killed on the 14th, and then the beginning of the 15th, the Passover meal, what we call the Seder, you probably heard of it, that's supposed to be eaten. Then we have the Sabbath, the normal Sabbath day of rest for everyone. And finally, the next evening after 6 p.m. comes Nisan 17. And that's what we call our Sunday today. Early that Sunday morning, still Nisan 17, Jesus rises from the dead. And that day happens to be also the day of the feast called First Fruits. Now, looking into Leviticus, do we have that available, Daniel? Can't see it? Oh, okay. I wondered what was going on. Couldn't see it back there. Okay. So Leviticus 23, starting with verse 9. And the Lord God spoke to Moses. Let me look this way so I don't get lost. Verse 10 continues. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. He shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall weigh it. Wasn't it interesting that the first fruit of the Huss family was weighed before the Lord today? Isn't that unique? That's awesome. Continuing, and you shall offer on that day when you weigh the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. So, the Israelites were told, now this instruction happened before they left Egypt, but the Lord told them, when you are settled on the promised land, on the day after the Sabbath following Passover, then the Israelites were supposed to bring the first sheaf of their harvest to the priest. In other words, God said, I'm promising you a new land, a land that flows with milk and honey. And the first year you get in and take possession, you're going to plant. And before you eat any of the fruit of the land, you're going to present it to the Lord on a particular day, the day of first fruits. And so this offering was a declaration to the people. Lord, we present this to you as the first fruit, but there's more to come. This is just the beginning. And it happened to be exactly on that feast day, Nisan 17, that Jesus rose from the grave. Not randomly, not poetically, but very precisely. Jesus didn't just rise from the dead on first fruits. He is the first fruit. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is teaching the Corinthians and he says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of ours. Just as the Israelites were supposed to show forth and present to the Lord the first fruit, be acceptable unto God, and then the Lord would bless the rest of the harvest. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of a greater harvest. And it's the promise that death is not the end for any of us. Now, according to the biblical calendar, the resurrection took place on the 17th of Nisan, as I said. This day isn't just a random square on the Jewish calendar, like, you know, just another day. It is a recurring moment of a new life through Scripture. In fact, this day is so special, there are a few events that you probably know about that happened on this particular day. On the 17th of Nisan, the Ark, Noah's Ark, came to rest on Mount Ararat after the flood, marking a new beginning for humanity. As you know, the flood got rid of all mankind on the earth. The only people that were alive were in that ark. On the 17th day of Nisan, the ark rested, giving a new beginning for mankind. It was on this day, Nisan 17, that Israel crossed the Red Sea, escaping slavery from Egypt. Again, a new life started on that 17th day. It is believed that the day God provided manna in the wilderness was also Nisan 17. And it is the day Queen Esther stood before the king, beginning the deliverance of the Jewish people from annihilation. So God was planning with different events that were very key, important for Israel, for them to realize when the first fruit would come, that it was a very meaningful, it was a beginning of something great. These were moments of rescue, moments of renewal, and moments of resurrection. It is as if God had been pointing to this day all along, preparing the world for the ultimate first fruit, the resurrection of his own son. There is a reason Jesus was crucified on Passover, exactly on that day, exactly on the time, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. There is a reason he rose on first fruit day. There is a reason the Holy Spirit was poured out on the world on the day of Pentecost. This is not because those days were just convenient. It's because God planned it from the beginning that particular way. He's a very specific God. This celebration was not kept just for nostalgia's sake. They are intended for connection. They remind us that we're part of one continuous story. You and I are part of a story from Abraham to Jesus to you and I today. What's the good news? God is not done with this story. Amen. Not with the church. He's not done with Israel either. If you read Zechariah 14, there is a reason that God speaks of a time when all nations will come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. See, all these feasts God instituted at the beginning, but they have meaning to us, and they have a future fulfillment that is great. It's not just poetry, it is prophecy. And if it was the Lord that gave it, you can bank on it. One day, which is approaching soon, the whole house of God will be restored. The rooms will be opened up. The stories will be remembered among them. The roots will be honored. And the family will finally be reunited. Now, my question to you is, are you part of that family? See, Jesus is coming back for his bride. In John chapter 14, where'd it go? I guess I didn't put it in. But I'll tell you about it. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Thomas makes a question to Jesus, and Jesus tells Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Do you realize that if you have not invited Jesus to be your personal Savior, that you're not part of the family of God, the one he's coming for pretty soon? If you have not done this yet, then really God is not your Father. He's your Creator, but not your Father. But you can change your Master even today through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you and for me. He is the first one who rose from the dead that will never die again. You see, there were other resurrections before Jesus' resurrection. There were some raised from the dead, but they died again. Jesus rose never to die again. And he's called the first fruit. But you know, if there is a first, there's a second, and there's a third, and there's a fourth, and so on. He wants you and me as part of his family. He wants you to live with him forever. Amen. Now, the only sad thing is that the other only alternative is a pretty bad one. Eternal suffering in hell. That's not going to be fun. Some people think that they can air condition hell. Not a chance. And see, and if you don't choose Jesus as your Savior while you're alive, then you get the only other destination. You see, Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die for you and for me. You know that famous scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Before it was part of the church. When we were yet sinners, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, end up in hell, but have eternal life with him in heaven. My question to you is, won't you call on him today if you have not done so? And to end, Mary Lou, where's Mary Lou? Where'd she go? Oh, she's got a little tidbit that I just love, so she's going to share it with you.
Good morning. We were setting up the tomb yesterday, and I had just found this information out and shared it with the pastor. So John 20, the disciples are coming back to the tomb because they saw it empty. So 26, it says, then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. So in Jesus' time, when the master of the house was at the table with his people, when he would grab his cloth and scrunch it up and put it on the table, it was to signify that he was done, so that the whole table was released, everyone could get up. But when he folded the cloth and he put it to the side, the master was signifying that he was not done, he would be coming back. So we get to celebrate, hallelujah, he's risen, and hallelujah, he's coming back. So.